Okay, well, go ahead and turn to Ephesians. And if you know us, we have been teaching out of the book of Ephesians, I don't know, a year and a half, maybe, I think, right? Yeah, about that. And you say, whoa, you know what? There's a lot of good stuff in the Word of God. And it's not fast food, but it's something that we should digest and look at. So today we're gonna spring off of Ephesians 5, verse number 6. So go ahead and turn there with me. And it says, don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins. So in the verses before that, there was a list of sins about sexual immorality, about purity, about gossip, about greed, about all this different stuff. And so he's saying, don't be fooled by those people who try to excuse these sins, right? We know people like that. Maybe we were people like that. Maybe we are people like that in the house of God this morning. And I'm glad you're here to hear this word because it's going to set you free. But it says, don't excuse those sins, for the anger of God will fall on all those who disobey him. Don't participate in the things these people do. So we're continuing a thought that he's writing to the church. And he's writing to the church that you were once a certain way, and now you've died to that person, and now you are a new creation in Christ. You are a new woman. Everybody say new woman. How many people come on Sunday mornings? Is Colossians not the same book of Ephesians? I was like, God, you crazy. Okay, but anyways, that was a side note, because Pastor Dan just taught all this, and it's so funny how God works his stuff out. But, okay, rabbit trail coming back. But he's continuing a thought that you are a new woman, and that's where we get the idea of born again. You're a new creation. You are a new person in Christ. You are learning to be that new creation. Your mind is renewing in that. A new woman wouldn't do that long list of stuff that he mentioned. And in fact, you can flip the page over in your Bible, and there's another list of things that he was talking about. He said, we're not going to behave like that because we're new people in Christ. You died to that old nature. That doesn't belong to you anymore. The new her is an imitator of God, it says in Ephesians, verse number 1. He says, you're an imitator of God, and just as Christ, we are to be loving each other, and our life is a sacrificial investment or offering to God. We're going to sacrifice those longings to do those sins and live in obedience to follow after Christ. The new her wouldn't behave like that. So with this new woman, which I'm wearing my I Am Her shirt, okay, gotta sport it. Women Rock PM was so fun last week, but okay. Rabbit trail. Sorry, it's the rain. It is the rain. So with this new woman, there's no room for sexual immorality. There's no room for impurity or greed or obscene jokes he was talking about or gossip or worshiping the things of this world. That's what he's breaking down the verse. And that there will be delusional people on your walk with God that are going to try to make excuses that the new people in Christ, it's okay to behave the old way. So he's just warning you now. It's probably happening in the church already. It happens in the church now. It happens on Facebook. Okay? There are going to be delusional people who say, no. I'm new too. I'm just like you. And we can do this. And I have an excuse for it. And I have a reason why I should be able to behave like this and live like this and continue in my old ways. You know, when he's talking about that, it's been a common deception in church history that people have this notion that professing Christians can lead an unrepentant life and sinful lives after conversion to Christ. And they think that they can't get away with it, but there's verse after verse after verse that talks about you must repent and you must turn. You are a new person. You are a new woman, and that woman requires obedience to God. And it says that don't participate with people who disobey him. In the New King James Version, it says, don't follow the sons of disobedience. The sons of disobedience, that's a Hebrew phrase. It's a Hebrew phrase that basically describes people who habitually live disobedient in sin without repentance and prove themselves to be children of the devil. Just like Judas, he was a son of destruction. You can read that in the book of John, in John 17:12. And so there's people who will prove themselves that, yeah, I've seen that before. I've seen you trying to prove and make an excuse that you can habitually stay in your sin and cover it with maybe a phrase of cheap grace or something like that. But God has called us to be different. And so today we're going to talk about obedience. And I'm going to teach, right? I saw some eyeballs go, boop, I'm awake. Okay? Obedience. But the best way I can describe obedience is that obedience is directional. And this is how my mind works. I'm a creative person, so I like it if I can get a visual of what's happening. But I was walking away from God, right? I was walking away from him. And then repentance, I repented to God and I turned from my sin. And now I'm walking towards him. That obedience is directional. This is my life now. This is the direction I'm going. I'm not going back. I'm going forward. And that's what obedience is. It's step after step, living with God. I'm no longer turning back. I've already turned. I've already done the repentance. But it's a directional focus. I've repented. I've obeyed him. In fact, in Matthew 7:13, it says you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad. And the gate is wide for many who choose that way. But the gate to life is very narrow and the road is difficult and only a few ever find it. There's going to be people on your walk that are going to be tempted to go back because you're obeying God and they're right there with you. But some point at some time, someone made an excuse for them for their sin. And so through temptation, they've turned back and gone the other way. And there's going to be people, in fact, Julia, can I use you as an example? Come on up here. We're just going to act this out for a second. But there's going to be people who, as we're walking together, right? Friends, walking with Jesus, being obedient. But at some point, I might want to turn and kind of say, you know, Julia, it's okay if we go this way. God doesn't care. We're going to all end up at the same place. Now, I might take the long road. But come on, let's just head this way. I know what the word says about, you know, sexual immorality and stuff, but girl, I saw his online dating profile, okay? Come on, swipe right, girl, okay? And you're wanting to take, people are gonna want to shift you because it's a lot easier to go backwards when you have someone else in your pity party of sin, right? But you and I need to understand that we're gonna have to say goodbye to those people and continue on the road of obedience. Thank you, Julia. You're going to have to keep on going. People are going to try to persuade you to go backwards. And Reverend Beth did an amazing job last week when she took us back to the garden, because that's exactly what it reminds me of, is that Adam and Eve are walking in the obedience of God. And then here comes the serpent to say, yeah, but did he really say that? And there's persuasion. Okay, does the scripture really mean that? Because nowadays, how can anyone not, you know, just drive the car before you get married? You know what I'm saying? Okay? And people are going to try to persuade you. The Bible's out of date. But it's not. And you and I choosing obedience is going to lead to blessing. It's going to lead to blessing. Do not participate. Do not follow those people. And it'll be tough because those of you who've been saved a while, you can think even now, well, I remember when this girl was around the table and I remember when this person, oh my gosh, that's the person who brought me to church and they're not even serving God anymore and they've gotten into some weird doctrine, into some weird stuff, but you keep your face forward. You keep on the obedience with God. You keep going in the direction that he's called you to go. This reminds me of Lot's wife in the book of Genesis, right? Lot's wife. You remember God was rescuing Lot and his wife out of Sodom and Gomorrah. And they it was spiritual warfare. And the angel said, in fact, we have it up on the overhead in Genesis 19. And so it came to pass when they had brought them outside, he said, escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed. There was a commandment there. He said, don't look back. don't go backwards. And then after they got up to the mountains, but his wife looked back and behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. You see, her affection wasn't on God and his direction. Her affection was on Sodom and Gomorrah and her past and looking at what was and what she's going to be missing out on. See, you and I, there's going to be temptations to look back, but I want to encourage you. There are better things ahead on this road of obedience than what you left behind. Don't look back. Obedience is directional. Obedience is directional. There's going to be a temptation to follow the crowd. Especially, you ever feel like, am I the only one who still has my mind? yes, you have the mind of Christ, okay? The world has lost it, right? And it feels that way. And there's a temptation to follow the crowd in. And we actually don't realize how strong that is in us. But my kids watch this show on Netflix. It's called, I think, Brains Games or Brain Games. And there is this one they were watching in the morning before they went to school. And I was laughing out loud, like LOL, at this because it's so funny. So I wanted to, you know, turn off the lights and I want to show you, keeping in mind how easy it is to follow the crowd.
Pay attention. Take a look at this crowded waiting room. These people may appear to be waiting for the eye doctor, but they're actually waiting for the first test subject in our hidden camera experiment. And here she is, right on time for her 12 o'clock appointment.
Hi, how are you doing?
This woman thinks she's here for a free eye exam.
Have you been here before?
No, it's my first time.
What she doesn't know is that everyone else in this room is working for us.
They'll be with you in just a couple minutes.
Today, we're running an experiment on social conformity, and the test starts now. Did you hear that? These people sure did. It doesn't take long for our test subject to notice a pattern. Beep means stand up. But why? And if you were in her shoes, what would you do the next time the tone sounds? While you might think you make your decisions all on your own, when it comes to peer pressure, all too often, your brain is just following the crowd. It's all around you, every day, an invisible force you're probably not even aware of. It affects what you do, how you think, and who you are. It's called social conformity. Or peer pressure. And while it might not sound like a good thing, it's actually not so bad. The truth is, your brain craves synchronicity and takes comfort in the ease and efficiency of just going with the flow. And whether it's simply knowing what to wear in the morning, supporting your team at the big game, or even marching off to war, we're all programmed to be part of the group. And that's because your brain knows that there's power in numbers. We set up a hidden camera experiment to see if this woman would stand up at the sound of this tone. Simply because everyone else is. You might be thinking you'd never go along with this. Or would you? After just three beeps, and without knowing why she's doing it, this woman is now conforming perfectly to the group. But what happens if we take the group away?
Elaine, please.
Okay, now she's alone. The crowd is gone, and nobody is watching her except our hidden cameras. What do you think she'll do? She's now conforming to the rules of the group without them even being there. Now, watch what happens when we introduce another outsider who doesn't know the rules.
Have a seat and they'll be out in just a couple minutes. Great, thanks so much.
Stay. everybody was doing, so I thought I was supposed to.
Think she'll teach the new guy what to do? We kept the cameras rolling as more unsuspecting patients arrived.
Okay, seriously? Hilarious, right? I mean, how easy is it for us to conform to death? But I liked what he said, that it's inside of us because we know that there's safety in numbers. And that's why it's so important on when you're on your walk of obedience that you don't do it alone. That you're not the only one, that you're going at it alone, but you're in a church and you're in a community and you're in a group of friends and women or people, maybe it's your family, whomever it is, that can help you along that road. Because things could get lonely, but otherwise, if everybody else is standing up at the beep and you feel like you're the only one continuing to serve God, continuing to tithe, continuing to go to church week after week, it can feel like, am I the only crazy one? But the world has no idea what direction that they're going. They are following simply, which the word of God says, their father, the devil. Okay, but you and I know that this walk of obedience, although it may feel lonely, although it may feel like, I just don't know, you need to gather a group of girls around you. So right now we're going to go to the tables with our girls. And here's the first question for today is, do you have a funny story of when you've ever gotten lost? Okay, because we can get lost on the road, the walk of obedience. Or we have another question. Is there a fashion trend that you followed because everyone else was doing it? And looking back and looking at those pictures, you're like, wow. Okay, so go ahead and go around your tables and let's talk about it. Okay, ladies, finish up your story. We're going to continue on with the message. Okay, did anyone wear shoulder pads? We were talking about shoulder pads. Any 90s girls in here? Baggy pants are coming back. Like really baggy. Pastor Jess is happy. Oh, I hope those low hip pants never come back. It's so difficult. Okay, so we had fun talking about that. We're going to continue in the Word, and after the first point, we'll get back to another question, a little bit deeper question. That was just an icebreaker. But my first point for today is that obedience is a trust walk. Obedience with God is a trust walk. And you've got to trust Him. You've got to know that He's faithful. You've got to know that He has your best interest in mind. And so when he has commandments, when He has things He's asked you to do, it's not because He's trying to confine you and to hold you back from happiness, right? He's trying to have you live your best life. Everyone's about living my best life, right? Hashtag living my best life at the beach, drinking my coffee. But actually choosing God and walking on this road with Him is the best life. It is the best way. And when I trust God and I know that He has my best interests in mind, it's not hard for me to say goodbye to going back or someone to persuade me, say, no, I'm going on this because this is the best way. He has my best interests at heart. He cares about me. And the fear of the Lord isn't just being afraid of going to hell, but the fear of the Lord is being afraid of living a less than life. I could have lived a good life with God. I could have had better relationships. I could have prospered. I could have ministered. I could have been a part of something that was pushing people into heaven. And living your best life in the fear of the Lord is saying that, you know what, I'm going to choose that. I'm going to choose God and choose Him. It's kind of like eating vegetables and plants, right, Giselle? It's kind of like learning that, you know, we need 10 fruits and vegetables a day. Right? 10. A lot of people don't even get that a week. Okay? And I've been just reading about all this stuff about fruits and vegetables. God put a little bit of medicine in all these plants for us to eat to heal our bodies. And it's just so hard to do it, even though He has our best interests in mind. Did you know that in plants that they're antioxidants? There's antifungal, they're antibacterial, they're anti-cancer, and they're anti-inflammatory. And still sometimes it feels like, you know, it's just so much easier to go for, you know, the carb, you know, than rinse off the vegetable or something like that. And we've got to realize the same thing with God, that God's life, it's better for your relationships. It may feel easier to drift back because remember, the highway to hell is broad and it's huge. And the narrow gate to heaven, to God's kingdom, it's narrow and it's a little bit more difficult. But we've got to understand that he has our best interest in mind. God's commandments are good for us. To love my neighbor as myself, as it says in Matthew, that's going to change the world around me. It's better for me to love my neighbor as myself because I've got to love myself first. That's a better interest that God has for us. If I love my enemy, then I can actually change my world. That's God's commandment, and it's better for my world, and it's better for me. You know, I started helping with my son's soccer team because I don't have enough to do. I don't know. I was like, that sounds fun. So I started helping with it, and I'm on these group texts with all the soccer moms and stuff. And so we're handing out jerseys, and me and my mom are doing this together. And we're handing out jerseys, and I didn't give the kid the number he wanted, okay? I don't know these people. And so I'm just like, this is... whoa, okay, just grab your numbers. And so we had a group text going, and we wanted to know everyone's team number because the mom was making a roster and, you know, just being great. And the mom texts back her kid's team number with a facepalm emoji. You're going to, because I didn't give you your kit, you're going to come up with an emoji on my group text, okay? So it was just a little salty, you know, and a little jab. And so I was like, all right. So my mom did what my mom does, and she started killing her with kindness. And my mom found her, and she's like, is this your beautiful family? And she just went after her, because to love my enemy changes the atmosphere around me. And that woman was smiling, and she was responding. Where I felt like it was cold, all of a sudden I began to love the person I thought that didn't like me. How could you not like me? See, some of us, we're just sad for 5 years if someone doesn't like us, you know? Forget the commandments of God, but what if we start to, you know, put love onto them and pray for them? And that's what I began to do. I don't know her situation. I don't know her life, but you begin to show kindness to them. It changes your world. That's what God's asked us to do. It's a trust walk. You mean if God's asked my husband to make me a priority and love me as Christ loves the church, then his commandment for me to honor and respect and submit, that sounds like a good deal to me. That sounds like a great deal. See, God's commandments, it's a trust walk. This is the best life. I need to speak uplifting things to the girls in my world, to my kids, instead of gossip. Because that's going to not just uplift me, but uplift people around me. And what I sow into them, I can reap also with those benefits. God's commandments are good for us, and it's a good thing. You know, when it says in the Word of God that for sexual immorality, because that's a big part of this chapter, is that, you know, our bodies in 1 Corinthians, I don't know if I have the verse, I don't think I do, 1 Corinthians 6, but it says, your bodies aren't made for sexual immorality, they're the Lord's. And so when God says that, no, you can't have booty calls, okay, it's not right, it's actually your best interest in mind. He's protecting you from hurt. He's protecting you from things outside of marriage, of having sex and a commitment and maybe having a child with somebody. And then all of a sudden there's no commitment. There's no relationship. You're alone. God forbid you have to walk down the road of having an abortion by yourself and all this stuff because God's given a commandment that it's for husband and wife in marriage. He has your best interest in mind. It's a trust walk. You've got to believe him. You've got to trust him and keep on that obedience with him. So here comes the thing. Well, if I trust God, how do I know that what I'm hearing, what I think I hear God telling me to do is actually what I'm supposed to do? Does anyone else ever feel like that? Like, it's not that I don't trust God. I don't trust myself, okay? Is this me or is this you, right? Like, that is so me. And so there's a few ways that God will speak to you on what to do and how you can obey him. And it's through the Word. We preach this all the time. I would be surprised if a week goes by that we do not say this every single week. But it says through the Word that we can hear him and you can know him. But that requires me to read it. And that requires me to break it down. And that requires me to discover the context and to interpret it. And now I'm learning the character of God, right? Now I'm recognizing God's face. So when I'm on the road and I see afar off, I know that face. I know that voice. He is my shepherd, and I hear him, and I know him because I've spent time in his word, right? I've learned it, but it takes an investment, and that's where people fall off sometimes. But I want to encourage you, dive into the word and get to know him. The Holy Spirit is another person we can hear from. The Holy Spirit will tell you to do things. He'll convict your heart. He'll inspire you to do ministry. He will inspire you to walk forward in obedience. But we've got to get to know him as well. It says in the Word of God that he is our friend and that he speaks to us and that he guides us into things that we need to know. The Holy Spirit loves you. In fact, in chapter 4 of Ephesians, right before that, it says we're not to grieve the Holy Spirit. You need to be close to him so you can hear him, so he can help you with your walk. The Holy Spirit will speak to you, and he'll also speak through others. And that's where we get counsel from somebody else. That's why we cannot do life alone on this road of obedience. We've got to, hey, I was thinking about doing this. Do you think I should do that? I was thinking about my kids doing this or, doing that. I was trying to decide if we should go here or go there, and have counsel that you trust, that have a good reputation, that the Holy Spirit can speak through. He wants to speak through you. And then prayer. Prayer is another way that you talking to God and asking God, God, am I supposed to marry this person? Am I supposed to go to the school? Am I supposed to take this job? And that walk of obedience, you keep on walking with him and he will speak to you. And I love how Pastor Deborah just explains prayer and how she says there's going to be times where you feel like your request is kind of up in the air. Do you know what I'm saying? You're praying about it. You don't know exactly what you're supposed to do, but then it drops into your spirit. And you know that you know that you know that is the step you must take to keep going forward. Obedience is a trust walk. And the more of a relationship that you build with God, the easier it is. When he says go, you go. When he says stay, you stay. Build that relationship with him. So my question for you around your table today is share one way your life has changed for the better since you've been following God. Share one way your life has changed for the better since you've been following God. So go ahead and chat around your tables. All right. I hope you girls got to share some good stories of how your life has been better now that you're following God. We're going to go on to point number 2, and I only have 2 points. That's a shocker. then we'll come back to a question again. But point number two with this walk of obedience is that obedience is worship. Obedience is worship to God. And so often we are like, okay, we have 20, maybe 30 minutes if it's a song from Bethel, and we're going to be worshiping God and singing to him, and, you know, we're going to be there. But God is really looking for, and that's so important, and God, you speak to God, and God speaks to you in that moment, but God's also looking for you to walk in obedience, and that becomes worship to him. And the best story in the Bible, and most of you who've been in church a while already know it, but it was with Saul, you know, and if in 2 Samuel 15:20, it says, here's what's basically happening, is that God told Saul to go invade these people and to just annihilate them, which I know sounds bad these days, but this is Old Testament, and that's how things were done, okay? And there is to be nothing taken back. That is what you're supposed to do. That was the commandment. That's the road he asked him to do. But Saul had a better idea, right? And he made an excuse for what he thought should be done. And somehow in his mind, he persuaded himself to go off of God's commandments. And it says here, it says, this is what Saul said, but I did obey the Lord, is what Saul said. I carried out the mission he gave me. I brought back King Agag, but I destroyed everyone else. Then my troops brought in the best of the sheep and the goats and the cattle and the plunder to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. He said, but I did do that. And he did some of it. But God isn't asking for some of it. If you want to worship it, worship him. He wants all of you. And that's why we preach being born again. And that's why we preach that we need to give him 100%. If God says it, I believe it, I'm going to do it. I trust him. Remember point number one? I trust him on this trust walk. And then the prophet of God returned back to him and he said this. But Samuel replied, he said, "What is more pleasing to the Lord? Your burnt offerings and sacrifices or your obedience to his voice?" Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than the offering of the fat of rams. Rebellion is as sinful as witchcraft, and stubbornness as bad as worshiping idols. So because you have rejected the command of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. God's wanting full commitment. God's wanting obedience as worship. And Saul, he had a good idea, but that wasn't the God idea. It's like, well, yeah, the guy I'm dating kind of loves God. Yeah, I did listen to some of what you said. Yeah, well, I'm kind of raising my kids in the ways of the Lord when I come to church like once a month, right? And I did do that, God, kind of. And God's saying, I want all of it because to obey is better than sacrifice. To obey and to raise your children in the ways of the Lord day in and day out, as Deuteronomy teaches us. That is what's going to change your life. That may be where some of you are stuck. You're saying, I can't find my freedom. I can't find that I feel God's blessing. I can't find his presence. And are you fully committing to him? Are you fully obeying him? Or is it just, well, kind of. Yeah. I'm coming to church. Yeah. I'm reading my Bible. Yeah. And that's what Saul convinced himself. But fully obeying God is worship to him. It's worship to him. And God knows that. God hears that. So we're going to go back to our tables again. I know that was a real quick thought, but I'm going to finish my point. But where was there a moment of obedience you had in your life that totally blessed you beyond what you could imagine? Like, you know that you heard God's voice to do this, to not do that. Share that testimony, because girls around your table need to hear this. Girls around your table need to know that, you know what, following this road is a good thing, and I can see blessings. So go ahead, chat around your tables. All right, ladies, wrap up that question. We're going to finish this sermon strong. Okay, I hope you got to share your testimonies, because we girls need to hear them. But we're talking about how obedience is worship to God, and God blesses obedience. And I just want to go through real quick what the Word of God says about that, that there's promises and commands in the Bible to obey your father and mother, right? We love those verses. Okay, that's Ephesians 6, which we'll be getting to probably in a month or two. But there's that, a promise of long life, right? When we obey governing authorities in Romans 13, there's a blessing on that. That's what God's asked us to do. You know, in Ephesians 5:22, when it says that we're to submit to our husbands, which means to come under his mission, that there's a blessing on that. God blesses that couple. God blesses you as a wife. And then even in Ephesians 6, when it says that God blesses as you serve your boss. So in the job that you have, as you serve the boss, you are also serving the Lord, and God will bless that work because that's who you're working for, right? Even though maybe you love your boss, maybe you don't care for your boss, but honestly, you're serving God, so serve the boss. But there are times where there's costly obedience. Do you know what I'm saying? Where that obedience costs you something. And I want to talk about that just for a minute, but it, you know, on your road to walking with God, and people who are trying to persuade you, they could be well-meaning leaders in your life. They could be devious people in your life that you know that you know, I know they have an agenda, and I know there's something up their sleeve. But I want to encourage you this, that if you have to choose between God, obeying God, or obeying a leader, you choose God. That's costly obedience. Right? When you have to choose between obeying and following the majority or obeying God, you choose God. That's costly obedience. You know, we can make excuses for all of our sins. I can find 3 blogs and 5 YouTube videos that will make excuses on why I deserve the sin that I have, right? It's just me. It's who I am. It's okay. But God says there's freedom. You don't have to walk that long road or go backwards and be deceived. But when you turn to him and you do that costly obedience, he's going to bless it. And you can trust him because it is a trust walk. So when you do the right thing, even if your leaders are doing the wrong thing, you do the right thing. Even if the majority is doing the wrong thing, you do the right thing. You do it. So I want to look at some people in the Bible real quick. It's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the book of Daniel. And you guys probably know the story. I remember learning it on a flannel board. Amen. That was a long time ago. But with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Nebuchadnezzar was saying, bow to this statue of me. When the music plays, I want everybody in this kingdom to bow to me. But they knew the commandment of the Lord because they were walking the road with him. And even though they were in a foreign land, they said, we're still going to follow God and we will not bow. We will not worship any other gods or any idols. So in Daniel chapter 6, verse number 17, it says this. Do we have the verse on the overhead? It says, if that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand. See, even when you're in the midst of pressure from that leader who is Nebuchadnezzar, an evil person, right? A person who is not following God, they chose God. And then even the next verse, do we have the next verse? But if not, costly obedience, but if not, says, God, I know God can save me from the fiery furnace, but even if he doesn't, if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. And they made a choice. And a rainbow did not fall from the sky, and they did not walk up to heaven, right? What happened to them? They were thrown into the fiery furnace. And the whole foreign land didn't see three people, they saw four. Because God was with them in that fiery furnace. And you can let's read the next verse. And it says, look, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Excuse me. Amen, right? As you are walking on this costly obedience, God will be with you. God will be with you even if it feels like the leaders are not. And Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel did what he always did. He prayed. And there was a commandment where they tricked the king, even though the king loved Daniel. Excuse me. But they tricked the king. And they said, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since his early days. And what did they do? They threw him in the lion's den. Sorry, can I have my water? This is what happens when you don't. When I was teaching and now I'm preaching. Okay, there we go, much better. Okay, so they threw him in the lion's den, but he did not get eaten by the lions, because the next day the king said, Daniel, are you there? Did your God come through? They wanted to see if his obedience matched up, and he was alive and he was well. You see, you need to make those choices, and God will take care of you. That's why it's a trust walk. Trust God. Trust him. I love Martin Luther King Jr. We all do. And he had a trust walk with God. And he had obedience to the Lord. And it was a civil disobedience to the wrongdoing that was happening with racism here in America. But he stood up in peaceful protests. And he stood up. And he said, even though the governing authorities right now may throw me in jail, I know what's right and I'm going to follow God. And he made a change in America. And we need people to stand up for the ways of the Lord. You know, I love the story of Martin Luther King Jr. He said he was thrown in prison. A man of God, a preacher, a pastor was thrown. I was listening to a sermon with my children. My kids were shocked that a pastor went to prison. And I had to tell them the story. But he said he was talking to a guardsman in the prison. He was a white guard. And he said, what are they paying you? And he told them the amount. He said, you should be walking with us, okay? That is not right, right? He was making an influence everywhere he went, whether it was in peaceful protests, in the prisons, or at the pulpit. He chose God, even though other people weren't. I love Martin Luther, who Martin Luther King was named after, and hundreds of years before that. He had a problem with how the Pope, the Catholic Church, was behaving in Germany, and they wanted people to pay indulgences. They wanted them to pay for their family members to get out of purgatory. They didn't want the people to know the actual word of God. And he had a problem with this, and he would stir up ruckus everywhere he went. And it was Germany, right? And he would be arguing theology in the pubs of Germany, right? And he married a nun, okay? And she was really good at making beer, all right? I mean, imagine, this is hilarious. And he changed everything because he took that 95 theses and he nailed it to the door. He said, it's not right. That's not what we should be doing. Someone needs to speak up. And he changed it. And you and I get to read this word of God because someone stuck up. They followed God instead of people. You and I must choose God. Dietrich Bonhoeffer. I don't know if you've ever heard his story. He was a pastor. He was a spy. And he was almost an assassin for the Lord. But in World War I, when Hitler was going against, you know, he was just on his rampage and killing millions of Jews, and it was a terrible, terrible thing, that he began to conspire with other Christians, say, we've got to take him down. He knew the word, he preached the word, and it's not right for a righteous man to do nothing. And so I remember one story, if you get a chance to read his book, it's so good. But one story was he went to visit America, and he was here in America, and he was thinking, how does nobody know what's going on in Germany? There wasn't Facebook. There wasn't Google News. There wasn't all this stuff. And so he was surprised. Does everybody know what we're dealing with? Does everybody know what's going on? And so he took it upon himself and some other people that he conspired with, and he was ready to assassinate Hitler. And he was ready to take him out. And unfortunately, it was a failed attempt, which landed him in jail. And so in jail is where he wrote his most amazing writings that changed lives, his books about discipleship, about grace. It was in that prison cell that he chose God, and it was costly obedience. Obedience that landed him in prison. And on his last day of living, and if you read the book, it almost chokes me up to this moment, because on his last day of living, it was Easter, and the prison guards let him preach an Easter message. And if you're a preacher, we're preachers. And that's what I'd want to do on my last day. Costly obedience in prison. See, it's going to be hard to choose God when other people aren't, and especially when it's the majority. You know, when the majority, but you know what I've learned about the majority is that they're not always right. And I learned that from Numbers 13 when the spies went in to look at the land, the promised land that they've waited for. And 12 spies went in, and they said they looked at it, and they brought back huge grapes, and they said there's milk and honey, which means that there's cattle, which means that there's plants, there's things we can live off of. And then other people, 10 of them, began to say, ah, but there's giants. And the majority began to talk down to two men and say, oh, there's giants. But those two, Joshua and Caleb, they said, no, we can take them. You see, the majority is not always right. You choose God, even when other people don't. And lastly, traditions. Sometimes there are traditions in our lives the best way I can explain it is Jesus. Is Jesus who was knocking the traditions of that day. Remember when the person with the hand, the crippled hand, and Jesus went to go heal him? And we have the verses on the overhead, but Jesus went into the synagogue and where he noticed a man with a deformed hand, and the Pharisees asked Jesus, does the law permit a person to work by healing on the Sabbath? And they were hoping he would say yes so they could bring charges against him. And he answered, if you had a sheep that fell into the well on the Sabbath, wouldn't you work to pull it out? Of course you would. And how much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Yes, the law permits a person to do good on the Sabbath. They had a tradition, they had a law, but God is saying, oh, come on, when the traditions are more important than the people, that's why we have the traditions, it's for the people. They've got to work for the ministry of the people, and there's gonna be traditions in your life. Maybe it's in your family, how you were raised. Maybe it is some religion that you have hanging over your head, but I wanna encourage you to choose God and minister to his people. The Azusa Street Revival was so big that happened in Los Angeles because it was out of the traditional norm. Because black and white people were worshiping together. Tradition was separate, but they brought them together. A woman was ministering, but tradition was not that way. But a woman was bringing in the revival with the Spirit of the Lord. See, you've got to look past traditions and obey what God says. How about Harvest Carnival here at the Rock Church? How many people do we minister to? 10,000, 20? I don't know. So many people, but there are people who are so stuck on tradition. And God told us, be a light in the darkness. We must be obedient to that. That's why we do it. We listen to the Spirit of God. And so many people say, well, how could you give candy out on the devil's day? You know, but we know that we're called to be a light in the darkness. And so you can't let traditions rule your life. You obey God, what God tells you to do. So in conclusion, all this to say, that if you find yourself in a place where you're thinking, gosh, Pastor Michelle, I haven't been obeying him. I haven't been walking with him. Girlfriend, there's mercy. There's grace. It's time to just turn around and start following him. Repent, right? And that just means turning. That just means turning. So don't get too heavy on yourself. Don't get too hard on yourself. But know that God loves you. And that there is obedience. With obedience, there is blessing. So what I want to do right now is go ahead and get into pairs at your table and pray for each other. And table leaders, if there's somebody who doesn't know the Lord, then I want you to go ahead and give that offer to them right now at the table, okay? God bless you, girls. I love you.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.